No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Where were you at 10:31 on a Wednesday night, May 28th? Oh my gosh, what a day. The show is hijacked in such a great way. I cannot wait, Mason. I was feeling so not excited about Alabama basketball this year going into the season. No, in Nate Oates we trust. Of course, in Nate Oates we trust. But I was feeling so like, okay, we'll see how something's got to happen. Somebody's got to come in and play point guard. What a night. I've been on a high. I haven't slept. We're starting the show late because I didn't sleep at all. We're starting the show late in the day because I jumped up and hurt my back and did some back flips. And I've been listening to Little Baby all night long and all morning long. I think I know all the lyrics to By Myself by now. Just a great moment. It's raining outside again in Tuscaloosa. I think I saw, 16, 18 inches of rain in the month of May or something.
Yeah, I saw something like that. Some mind-boggling statistic of, like, you could fill the bowl of Bryant-Denny Stadium with water or something. I didn't necessarily believe it, but it looked like it was coming from a semi-reputable source, so I just kind of rolled with it.
Right. I guess if you, like, focused all the rain concentrated on Bryant-Denny Stadium, that it would fill it all up. But it's raining again in Tuscaloosa, and we're here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios to talk about LeBaron Filon. Nothing else. I don't care about this Lane Kiffin 16-game proposal. 16-team playoff. I don't care about the SEC trying to trick the other conferences into agreeing to 5-11. It's all about LeBaron Filon. Oh my gosh. Welcome in. Follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_. You find us all at Bama Central at BamaCentral.com. Let's have a lot of fun, Mason. What in the world? I'm sitting there getting ready to go to bed. Did you even realize last night was the withdrawal deadline?
No, I did not.
No.
I did not even notice it was like, I was literally in the same day because we were talking about Todd Pettiford was in the news for the same thing. Basically, I was talking with my friends about it. You know, like one of them was asking, well, why did he do that if he knew he was? And I was like, well, you just kind of go see because you get to withdraw up to really close to the draft. Did not even realize it was the day of that.
Yeah, I didn't realize it because I pretty much, just like everybody else, LeBaron's gone. LeBaron Filon's gone, so we don't need to pay attention to the withdrawal deadline because Mark's obviously out of eligibility and, you know, Grant's out of eligibility. You wish them well. And LeBaron told us 18 times it's done.
He made it pretty clear. Not clear enough.
Wow. So that's going to hijack the show today. We still will talk a lot of basketball because I want to you really use your text message about Todd Pettiford to talk about Mark Sears, but all that gets moved to the back burner because you go from, oh, this is probably a Sweet 16 team to, oh, we're back in it. You're back in the, oh, this team can make a bit, can lead the conference.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I probably am. You know, I'll knock on wood, go ahead and do it.
Just go top three in the conference.
But this, you know, we love storylines on this show. I mean, you're both big storyline guys. The storyline of final day, he had to withdraw. LeBaron Fylan returns back to Alabama, leads them to potentially a national championship. I mean, it just, like, you couldn't write it better. It would be so glorious. A hometown kid, you know, the local, the Alabama kid, dreamed of playing for the Crimson. Like, oh, my God, it would be perfect. And it's all, everything is lining up right now. This team goes from, like you said, being a decent, still good team, but now they are, I think, a legitimate contender because you have a real solid, really, really good point guard.
Yeah, you go from probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in the conference. Remember, it's a 16-team conference. If you're 10th, you're not horrible. You go probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th in the conference to, oh, you're in that top four again.
Oh, yeah.
And my excitement level went from, oh, man, okay. So really, I think that we feel more, we have a base level of excitement for LeBaron, right? Sure. 6, 7, 8. But I think that it goes from 6, 7, 8 to 9, 10, 11 when you balance everything that happened during the day with Bruce Pearl. Getting Tahad Pettifer back, I was like, oh, my gosh, really? And then you got this Serbian national who you are out on, but I am in on.
Very much out on.
And Bruce Pearl.
4 rebounds a game at 6'9". I texted you. It's a crime against the game of basketball.
I was feeling bad about Alabama basketball throughout the day. I was like, Nate's going to have to do something. Coach is going to have to figure something out. And obviously,
do something he did.
In 5, 6 o'clock, it was like, well, I guess maybe we can go back to Desmond Claude and see if he wants to take the discount to come to Alabama. And then Nate said, no, I'm just going to bomb, drop, red button, LeBaron. So let's talk about that. What did it take? What is it? Is it LeBaron? I didn't get the right draft feedback that I thought was, sure. Oh, I'm going to be a top 20 pick. Or was it a big old bag from Alabama, from Yay Alabama? Or was it a mixture of all these things? What do you think went into LeBaron Fylan saying, you know what? I've told you all that I'm gone. Just kidding. I'm back.
I think as with most things, the answer probably falls somewhere in the middle there. But it is fun to speculate on what the, you know, potential NIL deal could look like, what the potential feedback he got was from the NBA. Because, I mean, me and you have maintained for a long time, you know, basically since he declared that, I mean, even before that, really, but, like, it never really seemed like he was going to be drafted that high. You know, there was a point maybe early in the season where he was getting thrown around in first-round mocks, and then it kind of quickly fell off because he didn't play bad or anything. He just wasn't putting up kind of eye-popping numbers like he did for a little stretch there. So me and, you know, you and I were a bit perplexed at the decision even from the beginning, because you look at my NBA mock drafts from whoever you want, not many of them had LeBaron even as a second round pick. And we know what it looks like for a second round pick in the NBA draft. We've seen it happen to Alabama guys, JD Davison, someone we brought up a lot throughout this process. Like, it's not a great, outlook. You know, it's a tough path to get to an NBA roster if you are a second round guy. I understand you can do it, and there's guys now probably in the playoffs now who are second-round guys, but it's tough. So it was always a little strange, but, man, he sure did seem to make it pretty dang clear that it was whatever he was hearing was like, I'm good to go. I'm going to lean towards the NIL deal side of things because I don't think that people were just lying to LeBaron. I think that, you know, I really don't. I think that he was probably getting the feedback that we expected him to be getting, and his own, whatever you call it, confidence, ego, whatever it is, was keeping him in the NBA draft and saying, no, I can overcome that. I can get people, you know, some team's going to take a chance, whatever it is. You know, maybe reality finally struck last night around 10 o'clock and he decided, oh, let's figure some things out. I don't know. I think maybe it was a bit of an NIL thing where he was offered a deal that probably would have been comparable, if not better, than what he would have received as a second or second round pick or undrafted player. And I got him back for another year. Hey, works for me though. Very happy to spend that money on LeBaron rather than anyone else.
Perfect. Because you're sitting there, LeBaron's gone, and Coach Oates is, we got to get a point guard. You got Jahlil Bethea, and he could be point guard. You've got Aiden Holloway, he could be your lead guard if you wanted to. You've got Latrell Wright coming back off of his injury as well. So you've got options, but you want something more secure. Mm-hmm. And you had him flirting with Desmond Claude, and other guards. Let's just take Desmond Claude for a second. Claude, apparently, the whispers that I was given was that he was offered a lot of money from other places. And what we were told, or the whispers that I was, he likes Alabama, likes the NATO system, just has to decide if he wants to take a pay cut to come to Alabama. And I don't know I don't think that pay cut was, we don't have the money, but I think it was more so, are you worth what these other colleges are giving you, 2 and 4 and 5 and 3 million, you know?
Yeah, maybe they offered him something with some incentives.
Yeah, right. what I believe happened was they said, okay, our offer to Desmond Claude is X, right? And he is getting, he's having a way taking this X offer deal versus all these other colleges' Y offer deal. We're only comfortable paying him X, bringing that number in. Are we more comfortable paying LeBaron Filon somewhere in between X and Y? Like, can we bump X up about whatever percentage that you have in your brain, 10%, 20%, whatever, 50%? This is just speculative. But I think that's where the conversation went is, okay, we've got this, you know, and obviously Desmond Claude, he's highly sought after at this point in the transfer portal. So he's got options, not any sort of criticism on him for weighing his options. But I wonder if we're only comfortable going to this number with him. Are we more comfortable going to a higher number with LeBaron? And I wonder if that became a thing. And as the time got down to it, LeBaron, as you said, ooh, am I going to be 25? Am I going to be 23? Or am I going to be 35, 41 in that range? Why don't I go back and take, this is an assumption on me, why don't I go back and take that better NIL deal, play my 40 games in Tuscaloosa where everybody loves me, and try it again?
I mean, you never know. It could very well play himself into being a solidified first-round pick. I don't think that's out of the question by any means whatsoever. He's still young. It's not like he is an aging guard or anything. You know, he's been in college for 1 year. I think him being a first-round pick is very much still in play. Not this year, obviously, but, you know, next season.
Kyra Lewis went 13 overall after 2 years at Bama, right? Or one?
Two, I believe he was here for two.
Two years at Bama. He comes to Bama. I don't know. I can't remember that far back if he went into the draft process and came back, but this is like very, very comparable. Kyra enrolled in Alabama early, skipped his senior year of high school, enrolled in Alabama early. That's what, he did not go to the draft because he wasn't eligible age-wise at that point. That's what it was. But essentially, comes to Alabama, plays for Avery, and is a downhill driving guard, gets to the rim very well, and makes himself 13th overall draft pick.
And I think by most variables, LeBaron is a better prospect than Kyra Lewis.
Yes. Not as explosive, fast,
sure, but he's taller. You know, he's a better defender. I think he's more creative and crafty around the rim. You know, he can make more plays. I think facilitate a little better.
Yeah, I think much more of an instinctual player. No disrespect to Kyra, but just LeBaron's like spidey senses were unheard of. So well done, coach.
Yeah, good on you.
Well done.
We also, Houston Mullett, I think he officially got his medical red shirt approved yesterday as well. So this team has very quickly before our eyes, you know, taken shape into what looks like a very, very good contender.
Our man, Hunter DeCiver, was up late last night for BamaCentral.com writing the news. Great job, Hunter. You can read his article. But my favorite part about his article is he has an updated roster written right here. Forward Amari Allen, incoming freshman. Guard Jaleel Bethea, Miami transfer. Taylor Bull Bowen, Florida State transfer. Keaton Bristow, Tarleton State transfer. Davion Hanna, incoming freshman. We all know and love Aiden Holloway, returns as a junior. London Jemison, incoming freshman. Houston Millett, medical redshirt. LeBaron Filon returns as a sophomore. Aiden Terrell returns as a sophomore. Noah Williamson, a Bucknell transfer. And Latrell Wrightsill Jr., medical redshirt.
As a deep roster.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It's 13 now, isn't it?
I thought it was 15.
Oh, I think you're right. Cool. But I think we're set. You're set.
I don't think you need anybody. You don't need anybody, any other contributors.
Yeah,
you need you some guys that can run in practice, you know, and let's make it happen.
Wow.
Anybody, any freshman on campus want to join the basketball team? Come on down to Coleman Coliseum. We got a spot for you on the end of the bench. Fill some space.
This last night's news totally shifts my opinion. Totally changes my whole outlook on the year.
As I do on just about every night, playing some video games with my friend.
What's the game last night?
Schedule One. It's, you ever heard of it?
Nope. 2 second overview.
Probably not a great topic for this show, but you act as a member of you create your own drug cartel. It's a good time. It's
all right. Yeah.
Very fun. It's all developed by one person Breaking in Australia. Bad. It's great. Yeah. There we go. Breaking Bad simulator.
Time. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. All right.
Good time. Anyway, you know, news comes through and I had to stop and it was just like, yeah, I could not explain to them the amount of excitement because they just don't quite get it. It took me from, like you said, I was at like a 6, 7 out of 10 level confidence with this team, and now I am at 8, 9, 10, you know, right in there.
People who have watched and listened to this show before know that, you know, it's the Bears for me, and then it's probably Alabama basketball. And so, yeah, I'm always going to be excited for the season. But I was preparing myself to be mentally frustrated the entire year. I was preparing myself to think,
you're
right, just minuscule degrees away. Last night's news makes me think, oh yeah, you can actually get excited about this.
It's not something I have to worry about for the next several months. It's something I can look forward to for the next several months.
Exactly. So we'll see. Keaton Bristow went out on social media midday yesterday.
He's excited.
Basically it was just inside the practice facility being like, I'm home kind of thing. So things are coming together. What's your confidence level on Houston Millett and his knees and Latrell Wrightsill and his Achilles?
My confidence level with Latrell Wrightsill is probably higher because I think that Houston Millett's thing is a little bit more of just like a chronic issue from what I understand with Osgood Schlatter. I don't know that. I think it's more about just kind of managing the issue as opposed to actually fixing the issue. Whereas I think with Latrell, especially with now, just the way medicine and surgeries go now, like Achilles is kind of a pretty easy repair. It seems like a lot of times guys are typically able to come back nowadays pretty easily from that. So I feel pretty good about that.
That's crazy. The medicals have advanced to that degree. What's the biggest X factor in this roster?
I have my answer.
Okay. Well, see if I throw it. See if one of my picks is your answer. Is it Jahlil Bethea? Is it Jahlil Bethea? Is Aiden Holloway or is it Aiden Sherrill?
It is Aiden Sherrill. Aiden Sherrill's sophomore season will feed families. Get this man a little bit more. I mean, he was like, you saw the flash. We all saw the flashes last season. Just get him a little bit more. He just needs that extra gear and that extra bit of nastiness about him. And I think you can unlock that with just a little bit more time. I am firmly in on the sophomore season for Aiden Sherrill. I think he is going to be an absolute star this year.
All right, so let's pivot to the actual basketball topic that we texted about just before midday yesterday. Todd Pettiford comes back to Auburn.
Yes.
And, okay, stinky, whatever. He's great. That's going to be a problem.
That was originally quite troubling news. Honestly, I really, was not looking forward to a season of having to watch him likely torch the SEC because he's a very good player. I think similar to kind of Mark Sears, he's not necessarily a good NBA prospect, but a great college player.
I don't know. What's his measure? Is he? He's not small.
He's only like 6'1", isn't he?
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he was pretty small, though.
Todd Pettiford is listed on the Wikipedia as at 6'1". You're right.
Okay.
So,
probably, I would imagine, the combine did not come in at that.
5'10".
Yeah. Not a lot of room for smaller guards these days. You got to be really, really good.
You asked me, what does Todd Pettiford's return to Auburn mean for Mark Sears' draft stock?
That was a little mean in our text message thread about it.
No, I mean, you weren't. I mean, Mark, this is just the circumstances for Mark, right? This is just like, sorry. It just is the truth. This is the circumstance. He was a fringe player in the draft last year and had a great year.
Fantastic year.
Amazing.
To go back to what I was saying, like I was talking to my friends about, and another one was asking him, like, why is Mark Sears not going to get drafted? He was really good. And I was like, he just isn't an NBA player. Just is what it is. It's one of those things. You could be as good as Mark Sears was. It's just not really room for a guy like that.
So is he just going to have to make a summer league team? He's got to go the Jaden Shackelford route.
I think he'll probably make his run in the summer league, but I believe there will probably be some very lucrative opportunities for him in other leagues around the world, maybe.
But he's going to go G League with the Bucks.
I hope not for his sake. That's not a good... just go play overseas, man. They'll pay you more. Go dominate in wherever. He will cook China. Like...
We have to be watching Israel professional basketball when Mark goes over there.
Well, I mean, Alex Reese, I know, bounced around some rosters this
but
year.
But he's back in the NBA.
Yeah, but he did his stint. He played in Germany, I believe it was.
He was Liechtenstein as well. Germany. Okay. But I think, isn't Liechtenstein the smallest country over there?
Something. Yeah, it's right around there. I imagine he had a pretty decent time.
Luxembourg. No. I know it was the smallest European country. That's where he put. Is it Luxembourg? Is it Liechtenstein? It's.
You're asking someone who does not know the answer to this question.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, hey man, go talk to Alex Reese. I mean, he had a good time.
I think you send him to Jaden Shackelford and say, how's that G League system with the Thunder?
Probably not that great.
But Shackelford's
playing in front of no one, and you get paid garbage.
But you're still in the States.
But you might get to the NBA.
And you're still in the States.
That sucks.
Okay.
That's not really that much of a plus.
Your mama can still see you.
Okay, sure. That's nice.
That's what I was getting at.
Like, but you could also just go make a lot more money elsewhere and then potentially be able to fly your mom somewhere fun and exotic to watch you play basketball.
Okay, yeah.
You know, there's not really a path to an NBA roster for Mark Sears. Not currently. You know, I hate it, but it just is what it is. You're a maybe 6-foot guard. you're not going to be tearing it up in the league.
They need to do the Steph Curry thing. Get all four players to circle Mark Sears at the half court line so he can shoot.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just not going to happen. I love Mark Sears. Love what he did at Alabama. He was a fantastic player. But it's just not what the NBA is looking for. The NBA has shifted. It is about being an alien. You got to be 6'6 or above, basically, or you're not going to cut it.
What a day. Hijacked. I was sitting here ready to talk about Lane Kiffin's 16-team proposal and his 5'11 model. Basically, Lane Kiffin goes out yesterday and says, screw all this. Just take 1 through 16 and rock and roll. But we're here talking basketball, and I love it. I'm so excited.
Highest paid player in the Chinese Basketball Association is Lance Stephenson, $4 million a year. Yeah, you don't think Mark Sears can do what Lance Stephenson's doing over there?
Isn't Lance Stephenson like 6'8"?
We don't have to talk about that. That's not an important detail.
Okay, is Michael Beasley still over there?
I believe he is as well.
Okay,
I say Kenneth Faried tearing it up, but for the they don't have team names here. Ty Lawson's in the CBA. Wow, there's a bunch of players. Stephon Marbury is still playing.
Mark's definitely better than Ty Lawson. Like Ty Lawson's washed at this point. Stephon Marbury.
No, okay, he's a coach now.
Yeah, he was like really big over there.
No chance he's still playing.
He was really big over there.
He made his contract is still one of the highest in the history of the league at $2 million a year.
Do you want to go play in China?
I don't think it'd be that bad. They probably treat you pretty well. They love basketball. I've seen many a video of a Chinese basketball Association game. They get insane in there. And now, I mean, I think there is a rule that, you know, determines like how many non-Chinese players you can have on one roster, but like there's a lot of American and, you know, English speaking players that play over there now. So I don't think it would be such an issue where he'd be the only person that speaks English or anything on the team. Yeah, he might even be coached by someone who speaks English.
Oh, yeah, yeah. NBA draft next month, June something, right? NBA draft June 15, 20 something. NBA draft date is June 25th. So a month away. Month away from finding out about Grant Nelson and Mark Sears.
Grant Nelson is interesting. I don't really know what his stuff. I've not seen him shown up in many mock drafts. I think he certainly fits the bill from like a tangible standpoint. You know, he's got all of those, the very tall, lanky. I just don't know that he quite has the athleticism that they're looking for. A little too lumbering.
Oh, man, our old colleague at Tide 109, he's really worked himself up. James Fletcher, he works with On3, and he's really into basketball. 35 minutes ago, projecting all 59 picks after the withdrawal deadline. So let's control F, Mark. Come on, James. You definitely have Mark Sears in here. Mark Sears, no. Ranked at 67. Ranked at 67. What about you, Grant Nelson? Control F, Grant. Oh, 58.
Ooh. I mean, get your foot in the door, you know.
So I think it's 50. It's just 50 picks. Is that what I'm reading here?
Oh. We don't have 60 picks?
I'm not 1,000% sure. Oh, no. These are just rankings. Okay. These are just.
This is a big board.
Oh, no. This skipped down to way further down to like the next article. Yeah, it skipped way. You know how they sport. It skips to the next article, the 2A rankings article. No, James Fletcher did not rank. There is 60 picks. Yes, there is 60 picks. It just jumped down to the next article. And no, unfortunately, James Fletcher did not. And look, good on you, smart guy. He is really, really good at his stuff. He's grown a lot. But I mean, for context, he's got Jeni Broome going 50 overall to the Knicks.
Well, he can't jump.
What else stands out here? What else stands out here? You've got a bunch of internationals.
I'm very happy. He's a Knicks and an Auburn fan. A unique combination there. He's had a tough week.
Yesterday was good ish with his Pettiford news. He's got Shaz Lanier at 37. Eddie Uthero, you remember I loved him at 36 overall. Let's keep going. What other is it working from the bottom up? Leah McNeely. Oh my gosh, Leah McNeely, the UConn guy, 25 overall. Asa Newell, Georgia freshman, 22 as we keep going. Walter Clayton Jr., 16 overall. And then he goes one by one by one. Yeah, and none of this is really that much more interesting. Jeremiah Fears, 8 overall from Oklahoma. You remember that freshman?
For the SEC to have been as dominant as it was this year, not as well represented in the first round of the draft, maybe that you would expect.
Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, and Ace Bailey are your first three projected picks.
Yeah, I think that's pretty locked in.
He's got the Pelicans at 7, taking Kamon Malawash. Kamon Malawash and Herb Jones together.
They're going to play the ugliest brand of basketball, the Pelicans, but
you're never going to score.
You will never score. Nor, they will not either.
You just put Herb and Malawash out there, and it's just like arms.
Yeah, they just lock arms at the top of the key, and they both stretch to the baseline.
I like that, at least for Herbs, but, man, I wish that organization would find a little juice.
Yeah, I wish they would. They had a very brief playoff run what, 2 years ago or so, where I think they were in the Western semifinal. I don't think they quite made it to the Western Conference Finals, but it was somewhat exciting, and they just haven't quite figured out how to build on it. Putting all your chips in there, all your eggs in the basket with Zion was a tough call.
Well, it was Zion or is what?
RJ Barrett?
Yeah, he didn't really do much. Didn't turn out
really either.
So let's shift gears here. The excitement has worn off a little bit. Not really. It will not wear off the entire year, the entire summer. I'll be excited about LeBaron Fineland's return. But let's shift gears here, and I'm going to steal a topic from our friend Hunter DeCider. We're going to talk about EA Sports, College Football 26. yeah, you're not a video game person, that's okay, but we're going to make it Alabama football related. He puts out there his top five projected players.
Oh, yes. This right? is fun.
So I want to talk about the five best players on Alabama's roster next season. Before we do that, we just went right into it today. So we're live here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios right off McFarland Boulevard. It is raining really hard, but his people are upstairs right now. Red and Victoria would love to take your phone calls at 205-758-3391 for all your insurance needs, home, life, auto insurance. You can call Derek Daniel for all your insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. 205-758-3391. I don't see. Well, he did this last year. He did this last year projecting the top five players. And we'll just read his picks. This is right from BamaCentral.com. We encourage you to read us at Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. He goes, Caden Proctor. He's projecting Caden Proctor 96, Ryan Williams a 94, Parker Brailsford 93, Deontay Lawson a 90, and Damani Jackson an 89. So just right off the bat, what do you react to those guys?
I think that's probably the right picks. I think it's not enough love for Damani, though. And I think it's probably accurate, but I don't think anybody is showing Damani enough love. Seems like every day I hear people, not hear, but see online various takes flying off about corners in the upcoming year for college football. And no one wants to mention Damani Jackson as being one of the best in the country. And I firmly believe that we are not just being homers here. I really think that he is that good, and I don't understand why nobody wants to talk about it. He probably will get somewhere around high 80s ranking, but he is deserving of a 94, 95, I think.
He's a good player. He's a good player, and I agree with you. See, we're a little bit we've got a little bit of a flawed perspective, because when we were children playing this game, 94, 95, 96s were very common.
Yeah, I guess this is true.
Last year, that was the first thing that I noticed, was we went through like the Alabama roster, and it was like only one player over 90.
Yeah,
they really scaled back the ratings a lot. I would agree with you, but we're coming from an old man perspective.
Yes, absolutely. The last game I poured a significant amount of time into was probably 2012.
Right, and the ratings were like,
I think Alabama had like 595 or above.
Right, and good players. Just think the EA Sports has dialed in their ratings a little bit. I think that this 89 is probably right about where he's going to be.
Yeah. No, I think he's right. We'll see what it is by the end of the season.
He's way too high on Caden Proctor. 96 is not going to...
I think he is... projected as one of the top tackles in the country this year. And, I would think that if you hold that kind of status, you would garner that sort of grade. But again, I don't know that the way the ranking system falls out, I don't know that he's quite there yet. I feel like he's also in that kind of high 80s range.
Oh, man, we got a bot that followed us this morning from Twitter. He says, good morning, sunshine. Your smile brightens the world around you. Friends? Sorry, bot. I'll be friends with anyone, but not robots. You think that no matter what, you're not putting Ryan Williams on the cover and not making the best player on the Alabama roster.
Yeah.
And Ryan's going to be at 95. That's going to cap at 95. His speed's going to be really, really electric, 97. His agility is going to be 99.
Were there any 99s in the game last year? Because I don't even
there know. Was wasn't there there were
I would think there had to have been some, probably, but I mean, thinking Travis Hunter maybe was your only one. Your Heisman winner, he was a cover athlete, I believe. He was the only one that even had a remarkable season of the three. This year, I think the only player you could really...
The best player last year was Will Johnson at 96.
Okay.
Will Campbell, 96 as well. You had Ollie Gordon at 96.
Okay.
James Pierce, 95, and you started to go out. Caleb Downs, 95. Travis Hunter, 95.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. You don't want to boost their ego any more than you already have, I guess. I don't know. I could see how maybe that could turn into some childish locker room arguments player was a 99, and maybe they don't deal with that as much in the NFL. Who knows?
You're making Ryan your best player on the team.
Yeah, I think that's pretty set in stone. It should be, at least. Just cover guy, cover athlete. He's the, you know, you ask anybody basically around the country that knows anything about college football right now, what do you think about Alabama? The first thing they think of is probably Ryan Williams.
Now I'm swapping. I like his five, but I'm swapping Deontay Lawson for LT Overton. That's what I'm doing. I think he's got the right five, but I think Deontay Lawson is going to probably end up being at 87, 86, 88. And LT Overton probably is going to be your 90, 91.
Are there any other, are there any players that, I mean, I don't know how often they updated these rankings throughout the season last year, but I know they did
pretty weekly.
Yeah, relatively regularly. Who's going to play themselves into being
Isaiah Horton?
Is that who it is? Yeah, you're probably right. It's not going to be Ty Simpson.
That was just my knee jerk. I'm sorry. That was Dr. Hits.
You might
my knee.
Be right, though. I mean, I expect a big season from him. I think, I mean, defensively.
Quay Rousseau is a good chance. If he comes out and has a couple weeks of. If he terrorizes Florida State. If he terrorizes Keon Florida
State. Hubbard, one of them. Big season out of one of them.
Keon Sapp is a good pick. Keon Sapp's a really good pick. Because these Raiders, these people, if Keon Sapp gets himself a pick six against Florida State, they're going to, lose their brains over it.
Yeah, I don't think that they have a team of people who are scouring all 22 film every week to justify these rankings. A lot of it is probably box score watching.
Right, and it's all just, I saw a highlight. Sure. That was cool. Like, these are not, now maybe I'm selling them short, but I don't see them as football heads.
Yeah, I'm not going to give EA enough credit to think that they have people watching film that know what they're watching on staff.
You remember reading stories about the Madden ratings, the raters? They would go to the games and they would have like a little tag and be like, I'm here for Madden. And the players would come up and petition them. Come on, man, you got my speed wrong.
That's funny.
Come on, man.
Man, that's good. I mean, I'm trying to think. Keon Sapp's really the only other one I can think of. Maybe.
So he's got honorable mentions on next five are and great job, Hunter, for real. His next five, he went Jeremy Bernard, 89, Tim Keenan, 88, LT Overton, 87, Quay Rousseau, 86, and Breya Hubbard, 86 as well. Okay. The only thing here, I love you for putting Tim Keenan up here, but EA Sports is not going to put him. He's going to be 83, 82, 81. EA Sports is not going to recognize the value of run-stuffing defensive lineman, block-eating defender.
Yeah, I think for all the reasons we just said. He's not going to be the one that's popping off the stat book there. But
you remember Eddie Goldman from Florida State? Played for my Bears for four or five years.
Familiar.
He was on the 18 Bears team that was actually good. Tim Keenan looked.
I guess he was probably on some of those good Florida State teams with Jameis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably why I remember him.
That's who I think Tim Keenan really reminds me of. Eddie Goldman was not an electric player at all for the Bears, but goodness gracious, you missed his tail when he was not out there because teams would run right up the gut, and he gave you solid middle pressure from in passing plays. I think Tim Keenan, the people who are watching film go, oh, he's really important.
I don't think it's, like you said, I don't think that it's, they're going to have the people necessarily that will be able to recognize his impact for what it actually is. So he probably will reside somewhere as just a baseline. Well, he's Alabama defensive lineman. We got to give him like a decent grade. So 83.
Who's going to be the most disrespected starter for Alabama? And I know we didn't prep this topic, so like all this is on the fly. But is it going to be whoever plays left guard? Is it going to be, goodness gracious, is it going to be the quarterback? Are you going to make Ty Simpson 84, 3, 8?
Like 78.
Oh, okay, perfect. You're right there in that range. Are you going to make Justin Jefferson because you don't watch him that much? 79, 81. That's disrespectful, but that's what EA Sports will do. Is it going to be Xavien Brown because you were a freshman last year? We can't make both the cornerbacks really, really good on the team. Who's
James Smith?
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, it feels like a guy who, again, similar to the reasons we've said, like didn't necessarily pop off the stat book, but to anybody that watches him, he's very good. He just hasn't quite found it yet, but we know it's coming. But I feel that could be one.
So rosters come out, releases July 10, and we will find out kind of how that goes. Obviously, it won't affect the season at all, but it'll just add one more element of excitement for the upcoming season. Mason, I saw your boy Dax in the comments of Twitter somewhere. I think it was on the College Football 25, like little Twitter. And he said, "When are y'all putting this out for PC?" And I thought about you.
Not gonna happen, unfortunately. I would not expect it to happen anytime soon.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Dax, if you need to get your fix, you can come to the house and we can run a few games if you want.
No, here we go. They dropped a new trailer showing all the games at night here. We got the lights in Bryant Denny.
Ooh, I do need to look at this trailer.
It looks like we're bringing back the signing day. That'll be cool. I saw some hats. We got hats on the table there. Maybe some good features in this one.
There are over 300 real-world coaches in the game.
Is Kalen DeBoer in it?
Kalen's got to be in it, right?
You think he did it?
Why wouldn't you do it?
I mean, Saban wouldn't have ever done it.
You don't think?
Absolutely not.
Recruiting, he would have. He wants the 12-year-olds to know it's Nick Saban.
I don't know. I don't know that he would have. I mean, he didn't do it. Well, I guess they didn't do it for anybody, though. But
right. It was all generic for the previous game. I think that, yes, his inclination would be waste of time. But then when he sees it as a recruiter, the 8-year-olds play this game. The middle schoolers play this game. The high schoolers, I need to do this. That's what I would assume.
Maybe.
The real question is, will Bill Belichick be in it? Because Belichick, you remember the Maddens. Bill Belichick was the only coach that never got himself scanned for the Maddens.
I'm trying to find out now, because there would have been a year where, I mean, you know, he coached for the Dolphins in 2005. There was a Madden game that year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe that they had any coach face scans that long ago, though. I think that was something that started a little bit later. I can't find anything specific about it, but I'm not seeing anything that confirms it either.
So let me ask you, this trailer that I'm watching, it's got a bunch of cut scenes and it's got a bunch of like special camera angles and stuff. Like, this is not what gameplay looks like.
No, they'll do the gameplay trailer in probably another week.
Right. So, but like
maybe tomorrow. I mean, it is only Thursday.
But that's my question. This is a cool video, but it doesn't get me anything excited to play the game or to buy the game, because I know that this is just a cinematic video, that the game doesn't actually look this way.
Well, there's a lot of people who don't recognize that also and see this and think, well, this is what it's going to look like when I play. And now they've already done their pre-order. They took their mom's credit card, clicked that link, and there they are, pre-ordering it for $120, the deluxe edition.
First comment, need a gameplay video.
Why? It's going to look exactly the same as last year's game.
As every other football game you've ever played.
There is no meaningful update that could be made to the gameplay other than adding features, which they're not going to show you now because they'll do a whole other trailer where they do a feature reveal. There's nothing meaningful that you're going to gain from seeing, well, here's what an outside zone would look like in this year's game. It's going to look exactly the same as if you just went home and ran it on your PS5.
The updates that I want are schematic. I want to, when I click QB contain, it actually to work. Mm-hmm. When I have, you know, drives me crazy. You get QB spy and your guy will go follow the quarterback, and then the quarterback can just run right around him. And it's just like, dude, that's why I made the audible. Like, oh gosh, you'll hit the pass coverage over the top, and then you get burned over the top. You'll hit pass coverage outside leverage, and you still get burned on out routes. And I'm just like, what's the point of any of this?
I was always a big Road to Glory guy, you know, doing the create your player. Loved making a running back or a tight end. Tight end was fun. Don't know why. It was just a good time.
Blocking?
I would just audible. You just earned as much coach trust, and then you just audible to a tight end seam every play. You just force them to throw it to you.
Can't cover me.
Yeah, you would rack up just like 8 touchdowns a game. It was great. That was what I would always play when I was a kid. I would love to see more of, because like the old games, I mean, you had like the whole like dorm room thing, and you would, as you got better and better, you'd upgrade to better looking apartments. Like if they had all kind of, you know, that kind of stuff, I always liked those aspects. I thought 2K did a pretty good job. Now they've gone way off a deep end now, but did a good job previously of having the like life aspects of your create a player and think that was always kind of fun to play.
Seems like they've lacked that a lot. But also, like, the I guess it's not franchise dynasty. Mm-hmm. Dynasty mode, you know, seems to lack a lot of the details it once had of, like, off-field issues and things becoming problems. I've seen some inklings that maybe they're adding NIL deals and things like that, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Can't wait for it. We'll see. Just gets us more excited about college football. Mason, let me tell you about Warren Tire. Then we are going to pivot to Lane Kiffin.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad on University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then. And so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress, for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
And we're right here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studio, so proudly sponsored by Warren Tire and Auto. So thankful for you, Russ Warren, and your businesses. Go see them today. Dude, it is pouring outside, so you know you need to have proper tires. You need to have proper brakes. Dude, people in Tuscaloosa kind of struggle driving sometimes in the rain, so please be careful and make sure that your car is running right. And if it's not running right, go see Warren Tire, and they will get it running right. Mason Woods, we've been on the college football playoff topic all week long because of SEC spring meetings and Greg Sankey getting all after it. Everybody's throwing their ideas out. Greg Sankey saying, oh, I don't need to be lectured on good of the game. Just give me an idea. Lane Kiffin gave you an idea yesterday.
Here you go, sir.
Lane Kiffin said, why are we doing all this hooey? Just take the top 16 and throw them in there.
Yeah, because I would have been in. Thinly veiled.
I'm going to tell you. You think he wants that smoke going to Texas, going to Austin as the 14th seed?
His tune may have changed if this had actually happened for him, going to get smoked in Austin, Texas. But this is the only reason he is saying this is because Ole Miss finished in a position where they would have made a 16 team field. Had they, made this year's playoff, he would have nothing to say about this. This is purely just for it. That goes for every coach. That goes for the coach of every team in all of college football. They are all saying these suggestions to make things for themselves work out better in the future. None of them would be saying it if they made the playoff last year.
Personally, I'm very thankful that this model did not exist last year.
Oh, man.
Okay, from the fans' perspective and from a college football perspective, this bracket works. This bracket is sexy.
Electrifying.
This bracket is magic. This bracket puts me into the feels. You got number one, Oregon, number two, Georgia, number three, Texas, four, Penn State. You just straight seeding, guys. Clemson is at 16, going on the road to Oregon. Alabama's in, baby. We're in. Woo! 11
is this
seed.
What you wanted, people?
11 seed Alabama is in, going on the road to take on Ohio State.
Woo!
How much enjoyment did you get watching Ohio State dismantle Tennessee piece by piece by piece? I got a lot of enjoyment.
Yeah, I did enjoy it. I did. From a purely like college football fan, no, it was not a great game to watch. But as a hater of Tennessee, I loved it.
Right.
That would not have been fun to consume as an Alabama fan. I still have. I wake up in cold sweats thinking about Ezekiel Elliott. I couldn't have handled that. Ohio State to me is, and maybe I'm not, maybe I'm one of the only people, but they are on the same level as the Auburns and LSUs. Like they are up there as far as my hatred for them goes. I never will like Ohio State.
I'll tell you this though. I have enough confidence in Kalen DeBoer that, and maybe it's misplaced, but I do have enough confidence in Kalen DeBoer that the Crimson Tide would not have gone shirtless in pregame and burned their entire adrenaline tank before the game even started.
Yeah, I think they probably wouldn't have made that choice also. But I don't think the outcome would have changed. I think that team would have done really bad things to horrific. Last year's Alabama team. Potentially worse than what they did to Tennessee.
Horrific. It would have. Yeah. So, okay, that aside, what do you think about this model? What do you think? I mean, look, isn't FCS a 2014 playoff? Mm-hmm. No, it's 16 with rounds of byes.
Is that what it is?
I'll find it. Two seconds.
24.
FCS playoffs.
I mean, if we're gonna go to 16, at least I guess you know seed it this way.
Yeah, it's 24. It is 24. Top 16 are seeded. The top 8 seeds get a bye.
So if we're gonna do it, which it seems like we are, at least do it this way, I guess. You know, don't give me all this garbage automatic quality. I mean, I guess we can do the 5+. That's fine. You can have your handful of automatic. But I don't want to see the, what was it, 4+4+2+2+1.
That's a horrible way.
So stupid. I don't want that.
Look, that is, everyone gets a trophy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't want anything to do with that.
I'm sorry. I understand fairness. I get it. And I want fairness for all. I do. But sometimes sports is not like that, especially when you're talking about college football, where you're playing like unbalanced schedules, and it just doesn't work. We got 4, you got 4, you got 2, you got 2.
This is not a format that lends itself to fairness. Like when the University of Alabama, you know, is playing the same sport as we've mentioned multiple times, Troy. Like those are not. These are not the same things here. It's not like the NFL where it's, all right, everybody, here's your salary cap. You're all working with the same pool of money. It's all going to get distributed to you the same way. This is not that. This format does not allow for much fairness. You got the haves and the have-nots.
Georgia beat Texas in the SEC championship, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so it's Oregon, it's Georgia. It's Oregon, it's Georgia. It's Clemson. It's Arizona State and it's Boise State in this group, in this like scenario. All there's your 5. Yep. And then the rest was the 11. Like, I love this, honestly.
Yeah, I like the again, if we're going to it, let's do it that way. It's inevitable, I think, at this point that 16 is happening, so might as well at least seed it correctly from the start.
Right, and there in this rankings is basically right back to how it finished. Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Boise State 9, Clemson 16. Where's the last one? Arizona State is 12. Right, and great, you're in, you're qualified. Yeah. You are you know your path took you to the playoff, but you are subject to straight seeding. Arizona State, you're going to Notre Dame, and maybe in this model you don't have home playoff games in the first round. You should. You absolutely should.
Yeah, I think you keep them. Is there anyone on this? I mean, I don't think really.
South Carolina goes to Georgia.
Godspeed, South Carolina. I don't think there's anybody on this bracket that's really having a significantly different path than what they had. Maybe SMU is able to win their first round game there, but
SMU at Tennessee, Boise State at Indiana. I'm at least like enjoying that game more, right?
Yeah. Certainly.
Miami is going to Penn State. Cold. You could get a lot. You could get a lot of juice out of Miami Penn State going back to Joe Pa days.
That would have been such a just dismantling of Miami. It would have just been Penn State saying, "Hey, we're going to play man football, and you're going to be able to do nothing about it." 3-yard carry. 3-yard carry. 3-yard carry. 3-yard carry. Cam Ward would have just been destroyed back there.
How you feeling about old Cam Ward so far? I'm OTAs?
I'm extremely excited.
You
I'm with it.
Are you drafting Restrepo in Dynasty League as your last pick?
Probably.
I don't blame
probably.
You.
Probably.
I think the Titans might have stole them.
I cannot fathom how he went undrafted. It genuinely
slow.
He did run a slow 40.
Quick.
Yes, he ran a slow 40. When you watch him play, he does not appear that he runs a 4.8, so take that as you will.
Very quick.
I think that, you know, teams may have been slightly put off by the kind of strange, like, facial thing that he has, you know. By everything I've read about it, doesn't seem like it's really an issue. He's managed it for this long.
Is it a scar or is it a medical?
It's a vascular malformation. I was reading about it. Oh. So it's just something where, like, when he does physical activity, his face swells up, basically. So, like, when he's calm and cool, it looks mostly normal. But then when he starts moving around and gets hot and, you know, sweaty and heart starts beating, it just swells up. So I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, he's played football this long. He's managed it this long. I think he'll probably be okay. That was a steal to me. I'm amazed that they got him. I wanted them to draft him in like the fourth round, and then he just never got picked up, and there he was.
All right, Cam, we'll get your buddy.
We'll get your best friend. Yeah, works for me. All time leader in receiving yards at Miami. That's pretty pretty good crown to have.
So Greg Sankey's asking for ideas, and basically, the ACC and SEC, or ACC and Big 12 are like, oh, we'll concede some of this for the good of the game. You've got this 5-11 model, and Josh Pate goes out there yesterday on Twitter and says the SEC is praying that that everyone bites on this 5-11 model. Like, he's sitting in a nefarious way. Not really, but he says it in kind of like this is a carrot that are going
to... Yeah.
But that's the only model. It's the only model that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he says that it's just like it's only beneficial to the SEC. That model is equally as beneficial to the Big Ten, who, like we said yesterday, could have an upswing where they get 4, 5, 6 teams into the playoff, or, you know, the SEC. Like, it's going to be one of those two. And I understand the ACC and the Big 12 are probably not going to be putting 4, 5, 6 teams in the playoff very often. But hey, you never know. It could happen. Stranger things have happened. I don't think it's some like nefarious, oh, we're trying to trick the rest of college football. I mean, you know, we talked about Greg Sankey's comment. He made it pretty clear that, hey, if we go with this, all these automatic qualifier model, the SEC could wind up losing spots because you limit them to only 4, where there's years when they could maybe get more.
Utah athletic directors yesterday and former college football playoff selection member Mark Harlan, he was in favor of it, and he says, I think the public and we agree that you have to win this thing on the field. And he continues, Harlan believes that that if there's concern that such a model could lead to more playoff bids for the SEC and not the Big 12, can we just make the football people in charge?
Yeah.
Get the bureaucrats out of this.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a pretty common issue just about everywhere. Let's put the people who actually know what they're talking about in charge, but nobody wants to ever do that. You know, we got to put these people who have all this money in charge instead.
I mean, if there's, like, this past year, okay, you would have ended up with what? I've seen Andy Staples. You would have ended up with no SEC teams on that side of the bracket. That's kind of interesting. Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama, six teams in the in the 16 team bracket. So your 5-11 model gives you 5 at larges, which sure hurts your feelings, ACC, but like, get ranked.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Schedule better games. What'd you make of Brian Kelly yesterday? Did you see his comments about scheduling?
I did see. What is he? He wants to play. He wants 9 SEC games and a non-conference, he said, which does not make any sense.
Yeah, he says we want to do 9 SEC games, get matched with a Big Ten squad, and then play two other non-conference games, which is your Western Carolina U's.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I love that he's basically I can respect that he is essentially calling it like it is, where it's like, hey, we don't really care about the other. It's Big Ten and SEC. Let's match us up with one of them. Those are the other big dogs here.
I saw Georgia message board person go, oh, so this means that Alabama will get Rutgers, Texas will get Purdue, Florida will get... Northwestern, yeah. And they're like, and Georgia will go on the road to Ohio State. I was like, oh, already playing the victim.
Yep. Every team will have that. I'm sure every message board probably over the next week is going to get that same comment about their team. You know, everybody wants to think that they, you know, they're out to get their team.
That'd be fun, though. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
We're already doing that this year. We don't have nine conference games, but yeah. We've got ourselves Florida State and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Come on, step up, everybody else. Gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and we talked about it yesterday, I think, again, or maybe the day before, but, like, there's not really any benefit to paying schools for games now, like, as a program, because you need to save that money. So just schedule somebody who you don't have to pay, who's going to look better on your resume.
I think that's about all I got today, Mason. I'm looking at my notes. I think that's about all I got today. I don't really have much more. I enjoy this 16-10. Like,
I will. Let's see.
Yeah, throw me something.
I did have some recruiting from yesterday. I had a busy day yesterday.
Oh, you had a bunch of guys announce visits and top three.
So Alabama and top schools for a 2026 offensive tackle, Mitchell Smith, a 3-star from Picayune, Mississippi. I want to say he does have a visit scheduled with Alabama. Let's see if I can get this pulled up. Yeah, he's going to be here on June 20th. Also in his top eight was Florida State, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Clemson, LSU, and Texas A&M. Get back to me when you got a top three, buddy. Then I will care a lot more. But much more notably, Alabama locks in a visit with Kenny Darby, who is one of the best receivers in the 2026 class and is committed to LSU right now. Has been since, I think it was November of 2024. But I think that may be subject to change here pretty soon. As of right now, he has only lined up one official visit this summer, and that is to Alabama. He will be here this weekend. He's joining he's one of 14 that's going to be in town starting. Some of them are arriving probably tonight.
But minutes away.
Yeah, many of them will be here tomorrow and the following, you know, days this weekend. And then last night, maybe even bigger news, possibly, one of the best linebackers in the 2026 class, Xavier Griffin, who we talked about a week or two ago, decommitting from USC, locks in his commitment date, names Alabama among his final three schools, Ohio State, Texas, and Florida State, down to four. Ohio State, Texas, and Florida State are his other three. He is going to be here on June 6th, one of two 5-stars that will be on campus. A plethora of other 4 and 3-stars as well will be here that weekend. So a lot of big things happening for the Crimson Tide. Big day yesterday.
One last thing for us. Alabama is bringing back Austin Claunch on December 7th. UTSA is coming to play Alabama. So
I love that they do that.
I do too. And if you're going to schedule, a lesser opponent, you might as well make it an emotional tie.
Sure.
You might as well make it a significant, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure it's very fun for both coaches. You know, obviously, I don't think Austin Claunch. I mean, you're sure he's going to get that game. We're going to try to win this game, but, like, you know, he knows as good as anybody else does. Like, all right, yeah, we're not on the Duke level. You know, we're not on Alabama's level quite now. But I think it's fun probably for him to get that jab kind of back at his old boss a little bit and say, hey, this is what I've figured out for myself. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of good banter there and things.
Last thing for me is Ryan Williams billboards. And we want to challenge you guys. If you are in Tuscaloosa, if you are in Mobile, if you're in the Saraland area, take a photo of the Ryan Williams billboard and tag us. That'll let us know that you are a real, real one. Ryan Williams getting billboards on Midtown Village, McFarland Boulevard, 15th Street, Laurel and Wallace, in Mobile. It doesn't really have a location. Oh, no. This is, yeah. In the Mobile location, he has one on Saraland Industrial Parkway and Airport Boulevard by the walk-ons, according to Alabama Football. So take a picture of the Ryan Williams billboard, tag us in it, and let us know that you're listening right there that way. Mason, let's go get dry. Let's stay dry. It's pouring out there. I was hopefully going to cut my front yard. I cut my backyard a couple days ago in the kind of like blank space between rain. I was like, okay, the sun's been out for a while. Hopefully it's dried enough. And it was dried enough, but it was like a one step, you know, just trying to make sure it doesn't destroy the mower. I was going to cut the front yard. That's not going to happen today. We're getting out of here. It's Thursday. What I'm doing is getting up with Will Miller and Theo Fernandez because Alabama baseball's regional. They are over in Hattiesburg right now. They will have an open availability at 3 o'clock that we will be writing about on BamaCentral.com. Then Will Miller, Theo, and myself will be going over there a couple different times this week to cover the games over the weekend. So Will was unavailable today. I asked him, I said, hey, you want to join us? And he said, well, I'm on this show at that time, and I'm on that show at that time.
Busy man.
Yeah, he's getting the calls. They're asking about Alabama baseball, and so we'll try to catch up with him tomorrow. We'll catch up with you tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.